Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today's Sunday, December 15th. We have like one more show before the end of the year, so we are kind of excited to kind of end the year off. This is our fifth year, and we're excited about ending it. I think it's next Sunday is our last show. Just want to remind everybody that the call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399 if you have a comment or a question. And I'm going to turn it over really quickly to my sister Denise, who has a little bit of beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. Just a reminder, we are on TweetChat. That's tweetchat.com, and you can join in on the conversation just by using the hashtag Beauty Lounge. You can either go to tweetchat.com or directly from your Twitter account and join the conversation by using Beauty Lounge. One quick announcement about the Powder Group, Saturday, March 29th through Monday, March 31st in New York City. The Powder Group is presenting a Makeup 101. This is a three-day session, and to get more information about the Powder Group's three-day session, you can go to their website, of course, which is powdergroup.com. But the Powder Group is pleased to announce their next session of Makeup 101, three aspiring and informative days of industry insight, technique, product, and artistry with Michael DeVellis and James Vincent. This event is not only an amazing way to get your start in truly understanding the process and world of a professional makeup artist, but it is a great way to rethink, regroup, and rework your artistry for those who have already been working in the industry but want to move their artistry to the next level. For hairstylists or those in other areas of the industry, this program is an incredible way to top up your knowledge of the art of makeup. The three-day event will review the business and industry of the makeup artist, core knowledge and techniques, beauty and editorial makeup, and more. Again, it's Saturday, March 29th. Through Monday, March 31st in New York City. Also, we want to thank everyone who came out to Sparkle, Shimmer, and Shine, the Illusions Cosmetics Beauty Tour in Charlotte, North Carolina this past weekend. We appreciate all of your support. And we want to especially thank our sponsors, the Tracy Riggs Salon, Illusions Cosmetics, of course, OCC, Polishing Company, Q-Tex. Am I missing anybody?
Rosebud Salve.
Rosebud Salve.
Bye-bye Parabens.
And Bye-bye Parabens, yes. So we want to thank our sponsors for help making this event possible. So thank you.
All right. And just I want to add another quick piece of beauty information. I just got in from Professional Beauty Association. They are hosting one-day regional forums in 2014. Alexandria, Virginia, Las Vegas, Nevada, Boston, Massachusetts, and Joliet, Illinois. And this is an effort to continually provide education, best practices, peer networking, and business support for business professionals and salon and spa owners throughout the country. So If you're interested in that, go to the PBA website, pbabeauty.com. And speaking of sponsors, we wanted to bring on quickly one of our sponsors from this past weekend, Ms. Teresa Williamson of Polishing Company. Welcome to the show, Teresa.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone.
How are you? We just wanted to bring you on. I'm sorry.
No, I'm good.
Good. We wanted to bring you on and have you introduce your polish collection.
Well, thank you. My name is Teresa Williamson, and I'm the founder of Polish Co., which is a three-free, non-toxic, non-cancer-causing nail polish line out of Greensboro, North Carolina. And you can go ahead.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
No, I was getting ready to say they can check us out at polishandcompany.com.
How many colors is in your collection?
We have 43 colors.
43 colors. Wow. And you said it's three free. So what is it? What's missing? What is it missing that we don't need anyway?
No. Well, the most important ingredient, it has no formaldehyde.
And okay.
It's not tested on animals.
Uh-huh.
So it's and it stays on natural nails very well because, you know, everybody is going natural nail, removing acrylics.
Mm-hmm.
So it stays on natural nails very well and fast drying.
I will say, I don't know all of the names of all of the polishes that you sent for the event, but those polishes looked really great on the nails the other night. So there's some really nice colors. And you know how, I don't know how, like sometimes, you know, on natural nails, you feel like you need a lot on the nail for the manicure to look really nice, like it's going to last.
Correct.
Those polishes, I don't know what's in them or the fact that you said they are three free. I don't know what it is about the product, but they looked like they were going to be able to, and I don't know if it's just because it was a fresh manicure, but it had a look as if some of it almost looked like it was gel on the nails. Can you use your polishes along with those people who have gel on their nails? Not the gel polish,
yes,
but the gel on their nails.
Yes. You mean as like acrylics, gel slash acrylics?
Say that again.
Yes. Yes, you can. Actually, my full-time manicurist, work in a salon every day, and
mm-hmm.
I use the polish on clients with acrylics or gels or just manicures, yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we have more information to share with you at another time about the event and how well your polishes did, but we appreciate you sending the polishes, and the colors are beautiful, and I think it was well received.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting us to
participate
as a sponsor.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for taking the time to join us on the show tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. Goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye. Suzanne Patterson, how are you?
I am just a little bit hoarse, but I'm good.
Okay.
I've been battling chronic bronchitis, so it just kind of came to a head a couple of weeks ago. So if I sound a little bit strange, my apologies.
Well, we're not going to hold you on the show really long.
Oh, good.
Suzanne. I feel bad.
No. But I'm just glad to be on the short end of it rather than going into the holidays with it. So it's just
okay.
A rest, a little bit of a cough, but a little froggy. But
right.
I mean, I feel great, but other than that.
Okay. Well, we wanted to invite you on to catch up with you and find out what's new in the world of HD. But before you do that, now, I know you've been on the show several times, so this may sound a little crazy, but I know you've been on the show several times, but can you kind of like briefly introduce yourself, because we do have some new listeners who may not be familiar with you. So just tell people who you are and, you know.
Oh, gosh, I'm just a hardworking artist like you guys. That's it, really. No?
I know, Suzanne, but you're supposed to tell them. You're supposed to tell them.
Oh, I hate to talk about myself.
I know you do. We all do.
It's not me. I mean, I'm just a hardworking girl that's just out there trying to, you know, been around for a while and just happen to have some knowledge that I share, you know, and through classes and my videos. And we've had a really, really successful online store for the past 8 years that is near and dear to my heart, supplying the industry. And, of course, all the proceeds go to our wonderful, wonderful Baby Haven Orphanage in South Africa, which is that actually has now opened another orphanage. So we're just thrilled to death that we're making a major difference and influence in what's happening there on the other side of the world and saving those abandoned newborn lives. So I think that's the thing I think is most important in my life right now. So, but being, you know, just sharing what I have and my experience and knowledge and making others great, better than me. But I hope they go on to be greater than I am.
And tell everybody the name of your store.
It's Paint and Powder Cosmetics. So Paint and Powder Cosmetics.com. And we have all the, you know, the industry brands. We're going to bring new brands in next year. So what's popular and what's hot. And so when they purchase from us, it goes to a great cause.
Paint and Powder Cosmetics. Gotcha.
Right.
So
right.
What's
so,
new in the world of HD?
Well, as you girls know, we've been talking about this for as long as I've been coming on the show for, what, 3 or 4 years now? Gosh, I can't remember, but when we started the HD technology and technique update, I think it was, I want to say 3 years ago, and kind of shared with you as things developed and came to pass, lo and behold. And you remember what I talked about, what was on the horizon. Do you guys remember 2 years ago about ultra high definition? We first talked about that, and it's going to be a reality. It's scheduled to come out in 2020, so woohoo for you guys, huh? Us old retired makeup artists will just watch you guys. So, but, you know, the technology that we have now in our hands to shoot with is what I just start calling it ridiculous definition, because it doesn't seem like it's ever going to end. And cameras today are just simply pre-editing tools. That's all they are. And they're a shorter means to an end, obviously, for editing. So right now, let's just take what we've been using, what's been out this year. So in the DSLR market, you know, the camera that shoots both still and motion, that's really where everything is going to center on. So Canon has had its EOS 5D Mark III camera out for a couple of years now, and it's it's a 22.3 megapixel. That's 22.3 million effective pixels. So the image size for that is 5760 by 3840. And, you know, it's been all the rage, especially since you can do both still and video with this camera. So that's just it's come to be a mainstay. Now, Canon next year is coming out with a 75 plus, and I say plus, it could be 75 to 80 megapixel DSLR. Mm. That's a raw image size of 9148 by 5958. Mm-hmm. I honestly, you know, I'm not an editor. I'm not, you know, I just cannot get into this mindset. But for makeup artists, you just need to be aware that, you know, this is the raw editing image that is with these cameras. And, oh, you know, the lenses for this camera that has a fast enough aperture capture, they start at $15,000. Just you know, because these still cameras don't come with lenses. But in order to keep up, you have to have a fast enough aperture. Obviously, I have to have fast enough aperture if you're going to capture 75-plus megapixel. So so that's the latest and greatest that everybody's, you know, anticipating in the DSLR market. So over on the video side, and notice I never say film side anymore because everything's shot in HD and transferred to film now.
Right.
So, you know, the Red Epic, which is what my brand new forthcoming video was shot in, that's coming out next month, is a 5K, which is just over the top ridiculous. It's a 5K format raw video image, and in video, 5120 by 2700 is like when I was looking at some of the raw footage, I didn't even have a program on my computer that could download this. I had to go and I had to buy a program just for the computer, just so I could download some of the raw images. It's just ridiculous. So I'm obviously way behind here in my own computer being able to download these images. It's just crazy. So now Red's newest baby, called the Red Dragon, is now in use, okay? And the brand new Transformer movie that's coming out in June next summer with Mark Wahlberg was shot in the Red Dragon. Red Dragon is a 6K format with a raw image size of 6144 by 3160. I just, again, over my head for, it's over my head.
Did you say make that?
It's getting over my head.
I just cannot,
you know, but it's getting bigger and bigger. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's the Red camera. Red Dragon.
The Red camera, okay. Red Dragon.
Yeah, have you guys worked with the Red Dragon yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well.
I know of it, but I don't think so.
Well, the Red Dragon 2 is right behind it, and it's 8K. 8K is coming in a couple of years. I just feel so sorry for you guys. I really do. I just really, the thing is that, you know, when you've got that much resolution to edit with, and then in the final picture, makeup artists have to be totally concerned about what their work looks like. Not so much in capture, you know, it's not really the camera that bothers me. It's the monitor or the TV set that your work is being seen in. That's the killer.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this in the past.
Right.
That's the killer. You are at the average TV screen size is what nowadays? excuse me. The average TV screen size in the homes right now can average it about 45. I think they're 45, around 45. I know we have a 65-inch. My husband has in his man cave. That's his baby. But I often will go down there just to see, you know, what certain things look like on 65-inch. Well, there is a Panasonic's got a 101-inch TV screen that's available on the consumer market. So imagine your work being seen on a 101-inch screen. Seriously,
wow.
in digital video. That's what you have to worry
right.
about. That it's not the camera capture. It's the final product.
Right.
So that's what you want to keep in mind, is that your skills are polished enough that they pass muster to the viewing public. So all of this nonsense at the camera end is really more for editing And it's really the TV monitors that you have to worry about. So you know, you have to think about this. So 6K, which is what the Dragon, Red Dragon is now, it has 45% more pixels than 5K. 6K has over 10 times the number of pixels than our just standard 1080p TV sets. Now, we don't have television sets yet that can broadcast in 4K that's on the consumer market. They're coming. So that's what you want to worry about, is those 4K resolution TV sets that are coming on the market. So when those hit and consumers start getting it, then you start getting a little, you know, occupied about how making sure your skills pass muster in that broadcast. So the consumer side doesn't really keep in step with electronically with what's out there on our site. So I think it's going to be a few years before people can really afford 4K TVs. Okay, so sometimes. But think about this also. And I think the stress is going to be more for print photography than it is for digital, because now all of your big fashion icon photographers like Bruce Weber to Greg Williams, they have been using Red cameras to shoot covers for Vogue, Harper's Bazaar, W, and it's going to become mainstream. They have all used the Red cover for their photo spreads, for their covers, and they're also capturing their video content, because that allows the Red camera, they have found, allows them to get the most content in still in motion out of their shoot. And also with these cameras and the types of glass, I mean, they're taking a page right out of digital cinematography, because now they can literally pre-edit their shots with a variety of lenses that give them a ton of textural control, lighting control. I mean, they can literally, I think they're going to be able to Photoshop even in the capture. I really do. I think that's coming. I honestly think that's coming. But for all you print artists out there, you're going to be, you know, as you get moving up the ladder into your, you know, the higher echelon of the fashion world, you're going to be running into video capture, because you can literally, not only can they use it for video, but they can take a print right off the video, and it's just as clear and crisp for for their print as it is for video. So, and plus with the control that they have, I think they're just going to be one and the same. You know, it's going to be common to see video cameras doing all the work in fashion print.
Suzanne, one of our followers in the on the chat is asking, what can MUAs do to sharpen their skills for HD and, you know, for what's coming?
Oh, gosh, that is definitely a loaded question, which is one of the reasons why I created HDU, you know, my two-day course, so I can teach people the ins and outs of, you really have to become more technically aware. You just do. And we've talked about this in the past, about being technically aware and about how different camera formats, how different camera manufacturers have inherent atmospheres in their cameras. For instance, I think we talked about that Panasonic has an inherently warm capture on skin, which every time I go on a shoot, the first thing I do is I find out, okay, what are we shooting in? So I know how to adjust my makeup up or down for the kind of camera that they're using. And it's always a gift to have a Panasonic, because it just, even with your cool skin tones, it pulls them more into the neutral zone and makes them more warmed up, so to speak. I hate Sony cameras with a passion, because they are so hard on the cool side. They resonate on redness. That's just what I, that's my tagline for Sony, is that it resonates on redness, because it really does. It, if you've got any blue-toned reds, it turns them very vampy looking. When I have a certain way that I manage cool undertones in Sony so that they appear more neutral, and I have to do a little extra work on discolorations and stuff like that, because the Sony cameras just really magnify on that. So it is that's just an example of being a technically aware artist. Red cameras are neutral, thankfully. They're very neutral. So I see them as fairly easy to work with. Just because they're these mega giant megapixel cameras, you know, I worry more about the atmosphere of a camera than I do about its resolution first. That is going to make or break, you know, how you really have to understand temperature and value. You have to understand how grayscale works. All that stuff works together. So it's not hard to learn, but if you haven't picked up makeup color theory, which is very different from graphic arts color theory, it's not the same, you're going to be okay with it. You know, you're going to understand how to adjust with the camera and how to adjust your makeup. So, you know, the thing is that because there's so much exploding in editing, on the editing end, and there's so much exploding with what lenses can do now. In fact, I had this, I was thinking about, well, what, since 2020 is a target date for when we're going to move from 1080 to 7680 to ultra-high definition, because Japan is already in ultra-high definition. They have already done that. England is getting ready to adopt it in, I think, in 2015. So when you know, England always pushes the envelope to the U.S. They're always ahead of us. They've been ahead of us for 80 years. So, I mean, you know, their PAL format was a bigger format than our standard definition. So they're always quick to embrace bigger and better, shinier, prettier, faster, whatever. But so I kind of did a little bit of thinking, and I do pay a little bit of attention to what the electronic shows kind of predict and bring out prototypes. And so I'm thinking, well, what will video production look like in the year 2020, really? Because y'all are still going to be working then, you know, actively in the industry. So, you know, we can definitely find clues from watching today's TVs and movies and kind of, you know, turning your ear towards that. And obviously the technology that brings the TVs and movies to us. Technology is morphing so fast that it, to me, a techie, you know, the technical person that I am, it's mind-boggling to me. And it almost makes me want to throw up my hands, but then, you know, as long as you're in the industry, we can't be afraid of it. We just have to embrace it and move forward with it,
right,
and just make sure that our skills keep up with it. So if you've paid any attention to what the electronics industry are predicting, or actually even the unveiling prototypes, I mean, there is a brave new video world coming. It really is. And I tell you, instant streaming video information is going to be had at the wave of a hand or the touch of the finger. There is going to be, even in our personal electronics that we use for ourselves, it's going to be where our eyes will actually have control over camera focus. That's scary to think about, but it'll be retinally activated. It's just so bizarre to think about it, but it's true. I mean, there are prototypes on the market about it. And video uploads are completely going to be a thing of the past. Everybody's going to say, oh, that was so 2013. But, you know, there's just technology now that's just going to make those long video uploads when you're uploading stuff a thing of the past. There isn't going to be any mouses or keyboards, and even consumer video cameras are going to be obsolete. Everything will be done with what they call a touch sensor device that has a screen, and that will be your video camera. There's prototypes out there for this, and more, it's moving in that direction. They have really refined that that particular process. Instant streaming and cloud storage is really going to become huge. That give you instant access and distribution at a touch of the finger. So DVD players are also going to be obsolete. They're going away. Your DVDs and your DVD players will be gone by 2020, I'm saying. Here's something, and obviously I can identify with this. We dumped cable last year, my husband and I. We just got rid of it because it was just like sucking money, and we never hardly watched it. We were watching more internet TV than we were cable TV, because I really like to pick and use what I enjoy. And I found myself going a lot to internet television. My husband was using a lot of internet television too, and I said, well, then why are we paying for cable? I don't, you know, save for maybe one or two specials a year. I just don't really enjoy it. So actually, internet television technology is rapidly advancing, and it is going to replace network cable programming by 2020. Absolutely. I think that that's, you know, everybody wants choice, and you just really can't get that with cable, and it's just really, 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 really popular. Video production is going to be exclusively 8K by then, and it will be relatively affordable. I think that the FCC is actually, we're going to find another mandate from the FCC by 2025 to go to ultra-high definition, just like, you know, there was a mandate in 2009. They shut down standard, you know, the standard def signal, the analog signal, it's gone. So by 2025, we'll probably have another mandate. Video and a few film producers will be total independence, and I think the motion picture studios will be gone. If they haven't already merged by then to stay relevant, but I think they're going to be dinosaurs, and it will be the independent.
I'm sorry, Suzanne. You think this will be happening by 2020, you said?
Yeah, I do. I think that because of, think about it, and this is just my guess. These are just stuff. I thought 7680 was a wild prediction. You know, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, I'll never. That's a long time coming, but it may be coming sooner than 2020. If England is going to adopt it in 2015 as their major format, you know, it's just, and Japan is already in it. It's a forced issue. It is a forced issue. Digital video is just going to rule. The film studios are going to have to scramble, I think, to stay relevant, because look at all reality TV. Look at all of the non-studio produced things. It's huge. Huge. How do they stay relevant? I believe that you're going to have your independent producers that are going to have, it's just going to be the other way around, where, you know, the independent productions and producers will sell their projects to the highest bidder rather than studio bankrolled productions.
Right.
That's just, I'm throwing it out there. That's all I'm saying. You know, I've been in the business 40 years, so I came up from the studios. I came up from the old Hollywood studio system long before there were ever schools, before there were ever, ever makeup schools. So in my lifetime, it's just, I can't believe how it's changed. I just cannot believe how it's changed. Makeup artistry back in the 70s and 80s was just your weird, non-mainstream, kind of weird career kind of thing. And there were not a lot of people in it. Now it is probably a major industry. I mean, look how it has exploded. Through the makeup schools, through TV shows. It's just huge. It's definitely considered, you know, a not so weird career anymore. In fact, it's probably a little more mainstream than we realize. So there's just so much independent production out there, more than what the studios bankrolled. So I'm just throwing it out there. This is just my prediction. It might happen later than sooner, but I think this is the direction it's going to go. As for makeup, what is that going to be like in 2020 by the time ultra-high definition comes to be a reality? I don't think our competitors will be artists. It will be technology. We will have to compete against technology and its ability to optically alter what we see coming from lenses that have improved ability to manipulate, I mean, seriously, light, texture, skin tone, even before it is digitally picked up and recorded. This is the kind of glass that they're producing now. It's stuff that's embedded in there that can be changed at in an instant. Post-production editing is going to be a significant competition because they can digitally enhance or take away just about any feature. I mean, they can recreate the face. They can do anything.
Do you think, though, that the film companies will want to put the funds into doing that? A lot of post work that makeup artists could do in the beginning?
Post work, because of technology advancements, it's a flip of the switch, practically. Mm. It's not as laborious or intensive as it used to be. Really isn't. Okay. And you have to realize that in the cameras alone, they're going to have a variety of skin chips in there. Now, I've always been against skin chips because it's never accurate. They never look accurate. And I work with DPs that, you know, will work with me and not use the skin chip. But there's still going to be advances in that. And it's just something that you need to be aware of. I think skin chips right now in digital photography are not accurate enough. They need a little more work. So I personally request that they not use it on a shoot, and they don't. So, but you have to win the respect. You know, you have to have the reputation, and you have to have your knowledge. You have to be able to stand on your knowledge, and you have to have, in order to be able to request that, you have to have good lighting knowledge and, you know, a halfway decent eye to know what you see in the monitor to be able to say, hey, you know, let's just work with the lighting here to enhance that or take away that. You have to really have some basic knowledge, lighting knowledge, and that's part of your technical expertise. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's just something you need to know to be able to defend your talent in the camera, mm-hmm. because that's what we do. We put the makeup on there, and we're professional enough to go in and be able to defend, because a lot of times, and I don't work in film anymore, so I can't speak, you know, for that, but just in video, oftentimes your lighting guys are more concerned about lighting set than they are about the talent. The talent is just like, you know, noise.
to them that they have to deal with. And so that's why you have to be able to defend your talent in lighting and make sure that he's getting the proper balance. You know, he's got, you know, the proper key, the proper backlighting. If you're into three-point lighting, everybody can understand basic three-point lighting. So there's just a whole bunch of things I could, you know, go down a list for, but makeup artists today just need to be a little more technically savvy, especially, you know, just some basic things about the camera that your work's going to be recorded in, and the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's which brings to me to, you know, I was on the search for the last year and a half for a replacement because everything's going LED. I mean, everything. You know, a lot of the industry is going LED, especially, you know, in my circles, everybody's LED. So the nice thing about LED is that, you know, there's no heat source. You know, it's not hot. The lights aren't hot, so you can handle them at any time. But the problem with LEDs in the past that we could buy for makeup use is that they were either rated too low in Kelvin, where they were too warm, or they were rated too high, which they were too cool. They weren't variable adjustments, and that was the problem with the Glamcore. That's why I never liked the Glamcore, because it wasn't variable adjustment, where you can't adjust it to between 45 to 5,000. 4,500 to 5,000 is the ideal range to do makeup in. That will transfer to any light setting on set, because you have to have, makeup begins with light. If you don't have the right light, you're not going to be able to go into match camera. You know, you have to be able to adjust in camera up or down, so you have to have a baseline of which you can see your colors and then you can read skin tones. And since everybody has a color blindness from very, very slight, and it's really interesting because in my workshops I give a grayscale test to see how well artists see color in 32K, and then I'll move it up to 45 and then up to 56K. And then I have them rated on a grayscale, and so it just pinpoints exactly whether artists can read color in half steps, quarter steps, full steps. It's really interesting, but it gives them a better understanding of their own eye and their own ability and why light is so important, the proper light. But I've found over the years that when you illuminate the skin, and even color palettes, you know, your shadows or your foundations, if you put them under 32K light, the difference in being able to read value and temperature is all over the map. But if you raise it to 48 to 5200 Kelvin, everybody seems to tighten up. Their, at least my study, the ones that I ran studies on, their ability to see variances on the grayscale were within one step. So obviously when you're using full spectrum light, it gives everybody almost an equal advantage, even if you have a slight color perception skew. So moral of the story is you need to be able to throw 4,800 to 5,200 on your talent so you can see your colors at their optimum intensity and skin undertone at optimum intensity. So I was doing some research and I came across ICANN lights, and I was really impressed because they have variable temperature knobs, so you can do it in increments and from 3,200 to 38 to 39 to 4,000, 41, 42, so you can just actually bump it up in increments, and I was just super elated about that. And they don't have the dreaded green spike, which a lot of LED lights have a problem with. So if you have a green spike in your light, then you have to put a magenta filter on it so that you get true full spectrum balance. And these do not have, and that was one of the great things about it. So, you know, you can just pop it right out and use it, don't need filters on it or anything. And it was given mention in Digital Cinema Review as one of the best lighting products of the year. So I'm like, yay, I hit it. So anyway, so we have what I think arguably is the best light system for makeup art. And these things are so portable, so portable. They come in this like little, it's like a little overnight case. It's, you know, it's literally weighs, you know, just a couple of pounds. It has its own case. You can go online. You can go on the website and see it. But this is what I'm using now for me when I'm on location. I just love it, love it, love it. And don't have to worry about tungsten anymore. Burning your hands, waiting for it to cool down.
Right. Well, Suzanne, so I know you've been saying that makeup artists have to be more technically savvy. You know, we have to be more aware of these things. How do we find out this information? Where do we go? What magazine do we need to look in?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's something that there really isn't a book or a magazine or anything that just distills it down, which is why I have HDMU, the two-day course that I teach twice a year, to, you know, tear down and build up your technique step by step, along with learning all of this stuff, because we, you know, we do it in our studio. Every single step of makeup is thrown up in camera on a big, big monitor, so you can actually see step by step, you know, what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. You just have to start being more aware of how things are done on set and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to do it. You know, if you can't take a class, my video that came out 3 or 4 years ago is a really good basic intro on doing makeup for HD. I mean, it was shot in a super tight close up. So. Graftovian, right, the Graftovian video.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Makeup HD 101. It's being used in makeup schools. It's being used in cosmetology schools. So I've had quite a surprise, you know, that that it's just been, you know, so well received, and that's apparently, you know, hit the mark for the need. So that's one other way. But just really paying attention on set and asking questions. And, you know, I've given, you know, really get to know the camera that you're working in. Like, I mostly work in Reds and Panasonics, and a Sony, of course. And just knowing what you have to be aware of in those cameras, getting some basic lighting, understanding three-point lighting, and pay more attention to the monitor on set and how things are done. Pay attention to the DIT technician, the digital imaging technician on set, if there is one on set, which there is on, you know, bigger shoots. They're always, you know, adjusting stuff. Go in the control room if you can, if you're on a live shoot or live to recorded shoot. See what's going on in there. Just start being more aware. I always tell my students, you know, today, nowadays, you can take your smartphone or I don't have a smartphone, but you can take, you know, anything that you can capture a video with it, and it these things come with a plug. Go plug it in. Just take some still pictures or take some video or plug it in live to your TV set and take a look at your work on it on your home TV set. If it's an HD, you know, an HD TV, that's one way that you can really start to study your fundamentals. You know, your basic fundamentals, your blending, your color choices, your color palettes, you know, that kind of thing. That's another thing, is to really start studying your makeup just by throwing it up on your TV set.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other things I can think of, I'm sure, as we talk.
So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those makeup artists that don't work on sets, you know, like television film sets, but maybe they find themselves on a big shoot, like you were talking about some of the photographers earlier, how do they become more aware of this?
Well, are you talking, print artists?
Yes.
On a print set, I think it's the same thing. You have to be, you just really have to start watching and asking questions. I mean, if you're thrown on one of these big sets, I mean, as a lead artist, hopefully you've been practicing. And again, I would throw my prints up on a TV set, and I would look at them through a big screen TV, and I would start looking at my technique, my color palettes, and all that. The same way. If you can't get to a class or a situation where you can train, there might even be, I don't know, you know, there's so many YouTube videos out there. Since I don't do any print work at all, that's not my thing. I'm a special effects artist, so you know, I have lately, because I've been using, we've got a brand new line of prosthetic transfers that are really going to make silicone look obsolete. And I think prosthetic transfers are way better than silicone anyway. But I have actually...
I said they're so nice.
Oh, they are. Yeah, they are. I mean, there's some good ones out there. There's some not so good ones out there that so you have to be really, really careful. But the ones that we have made for us are from a guy in California, a lab guy in California, who has made them for major, major motion pictures. And I'm not talking about Christian Tinsley. They're not Tinsley transfers. These are way better than Tinsley's in my feeling. But I have taken to videotaping my application technique. I mean, I'll just go in the studio and turn on the camera, and I'll watch myself up on the big screen to see my, you know, because I want to change how I blend edges or how I, you know, seam this or do that. You should do the same thing. You should watch yourself, you know, get yourself a small video camera that you can just prop up. I mean, those little flip video cameras you can get them for under $100, but they're 1080 capture, so you're going to get a decent resolution up on your big screen, and I would definitely be practicing with that. I think you have to practice and see what it looks like on screen. So, I mean, that's what I do. Even though I use our pro-grade camera, I'm at a little better advantage because I can put up a macro lens on the camera, and I can get super, super, super tight, you know, on it and practice. But anything like that, you know, even if you're using just a, you know, a consumer-type video camera, anything's better than you know, not practicing that way. I just really encourage more and more artists to do that. really look at your work live. And you can do that at home. You can just set up a camera and just put it on, set up your chair, throw somebody in the chair, and just look at your blending techniques, look at your color palettes, look at those things, put it on, you know, whatever, if your friend has a, you know, a big 65 or 75 inch monitor, go and do it on, look on that monitor, on that TV. It's,
right.
You're a step ahead, you're a leg up. That's what I tell my students, you know, just because you had the advantage of working in a pro studio here, I mean, you know, last time I told you, I have a production company now, and we're producing a variety of video products, and including the new Graphtobian video that's coming out next month. So, I mean, I can throw a red camera up, and I can use that to practice with. Our students that come through our courses, my course, you know, have that same advantage. So, but just go home, I mean, in your home, and practice with what you have. If you can get a, you know, a live image up there and just let the camera run, that's great. You know, just turn the camera on. That's my best advice if you can't get a set experience. But even for the bridal artist that just does bridal work or, public service type work, it's an HD world. It is all HD now. And that bride is going to be able to see her video up on a big screen. What if she's got a 101-inch, you know, TV screen? And your reputation as an artist makes or breaks with what she sees on there, because, you know, bridal makeup is very heavy word of mouth and referral. And you just want it has, not only does it have to look good at the wedding, but it's got to look good on video, and it's got to look good in that digital camera still picture cap. So you're not scot-free.
Right.
You still need to do the same thing. And that is, it's that consumer TV that makes or breaks our reputations, whether we're up on the big screen, you know, doing film or doing bridal work.
Absolutely. Well, last question for you. I wanted to know, and I just went blank. But
it's all right.
Oh gosh, what was I gonna say? I wanted you to talk, let those people who are not familiar with your class, your 2-day class, if you could talk about that for a few minutes, so just in case there's anyone out there interested.
High definition Makeup University, yes. And I have a brochure on it, and you can go to SuzannePatterson.com and request the brochure. But it is a class that I put together I started about 5 years ago before the mandate, because I knew this was coming on. And every year, it's completely, we update it every single year to make it current to what's going on into the industry. And it's literally tearing apart your skill, step by step, from prep to finish, all the way, and including airbrush. So we just tear it apart technically, build you back up, give you a skill set that you can interface with, as far as basic lighting and basic camera. So important. It's just, it's been something that when I hold it, we have, it fills all the time. I've actually taken the class on the road and gone to Europe with it. I've been requested to teach in Europe, so I've taught in London, I've taught in the Netherlands, and I've, it's just been hugely, hugely successful. And the video, the Graphtobian makeup, HD Makeup 101, is a small little slice of what the class you know, we go through some basic steps there. So it just gives you some idea of what the class is like, but there's just so many more things that we go into. But I should have my schedule up for 2014 here in a couple of weeks. But okay. I just really, really enjoy teaching everyone, and it's just so gratifying to me to see the lights go on, like, you know, in a safe environment, too. I mean, it's just like I tell my students, look, just whatever you know and whatever you don't know, don't worry, because this is, you know, this is a level playing field here, and we're going to build you up with the knowledge and the skill that you need, and to go out and feel confident and be able to communicate with your crew and be respected, because you're going to be speaking a little bit of their language as well, and you're going to be understanding what it is that they see and work with. So anyhow, I think it's a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, you gave the listening audience a lot to think about, and I'll look forward to seeing that new schedule go up to check out when you're going to offer that class. You said you do it twice a year, correct?
Yeah, I do it. I'll probably do it in February and then again in October. But, you know, I want to tell all of your listeners is, like, don't be afraid of this. It you know, fear is going to defeat you. Knowledge is power, and it's very powerful to have knowledge, and it's very affirming. So, you know, don't be afraid of this. You just, you know, you start wading into it. That's how we all started at square one. And just consider this, if you don't have a lot of knowledge about it, then it's just square one, and you wade into it, and you just build your confidence in it. But don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid
of.
You got, it's you know, knowledge is power.
Right.
So is technique. At least you have a better understanding of what, you know, what you're working with and what you're up against. Not knowing is really the hard part.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Suzanne. We really appreciate you.
I've enjoyed it, as always. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
You
sorry about my raspy voice, but
it's okay.
I'm definitely on the mend with it, so.
Well, that's good. Well, we hope you feel
better.
Have a
great holiday, everybody.
You do the same. Thank you so much, Suzanne.
Uh-huh. Take
Have
care.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to our conversation with Suzanne Patterson tonight. She definitely left us with some things we need to pay attention to, whether we're on a movie, a television set, a photo shoot, or even doing makeup for a bride. We definitely have to get more technically aware of what's going on with all of the cameras that's being used. She did suggest that we video our work and look at it on a large screen TV. So we should take her advice and start putting that into practice. Thanks for Brandy, who's helping us out on the tweet chat. Thank you, as always, Brandy. And again, if you missed the show, you can go back out and listen to it, probably in about the next 15 minutes. If you liked tonight's show and you joined the conversation, go out and mark it as a favorite on our profile page here on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned to our Facebook and Twitter pages for news about who our guest is for next week, which is our final show of the year, and we'll return back, we'll come back in January, and I believe that is, what date is that? In January. We'll be back, okay, I can't get my calendar, there we go, January 5th, the first Sunday of the month, January 5th, but again, next week. We have a show next week, and then we'll be back on January 5th. So make sure you tune in next week, right before the Christmas holiday. So I guess with that being said, everyone have a beautiful and blessed week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Good night.